Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Today is going to be a doozer of a show, I think, because I'm going to get some of my questions answered, and I believe a lot of other people's questions answered as well. I think I'm going to name this something like, Scientist Says, Don't Listen to the Science Claims. Because I don't know if you're hearing and seeing what I'm seeing, but, you know, there are people out there, free thinkers, people who don't just take what the government says or what the media says as 100% fact. They want to do their own fact finding. They want to use their own intellect and common sense and what they believe is best for themselves. And they have questions. They don't just follow, as some people say, sheep or the sheeple. So, what is going on with this push to get people vaccinated when the science, at least the facts, are showing that many of the people sick with COVID today are already vaccinated? So if they're already vaccinated, what do they have to worry about people who aren't vaccinated? I mean, if they're vaccinated and they believe that this vaccine works, and I hope it does, by the way, then they have nothing to worry about. But if they are still getting sick, then perhaps the vaccine isn't as effective as they thought it would be. And the adverse reactions that some people are having perhaps may not be worth it, especially when we see that COVID today has found, with, you know, all this time that has passed now, the data has come in that there is treatment for it. There are things that work, like ivermectin, like hydroxychloroquine together with zinc and other vitamins, etc. So why, if that is so, why are they pushing the vaccine? And why are they paying people $100 to take it? Or trying to sweeten the pot for them to take it? So we're going to try to get these questions answered today on the show. Also, India strategically is waking up in the political world. And also, we're going to be talking about Arab crowns. I'm not sure what our guest means by that, Arab crowns, but sounds fascinating. We'll be right back.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Scientist says, don't listen to the science claims. So is COVID, this whole thing that we're experiencing, is it a conspiracy, as a lot of people think it might be? Or is it legitimate that the government is really worried about us, wants to get us vaccinated, wants to get us past this, and wants to return our rights to us as soon as possible so we can go back to the quote-unquote old normal? These are some of the questions that I have, and you can call into the show if you have any questions as well. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Our guest today is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher, former lecturer at Ben-Gurion University, and has authored over 80 books and 400 research papers on science, history, and more. He commentates on Mideastern world issues. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you. Sad subject.
All right. You and I had a very enlightening talk. You came to my house last week, which is such a kef, you know. Kef in Hebrew is like so much fun. And it was really great to see you. And we were talking, I was asking you about why, you know, I mean, is it really, you know, all the things going on the internet. Again, I don't know if our listeners see and hear what I see and hear, but, you know, there are some people who are saying that Bill Gates wants us all dead and that some people are saying there are chips in this vaccine. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that. But I do believe that something does stink. I'm not sure how far and how much it stinks, but I do believe something stinks. I don't think everything is as beautiful and optimistic as we would like to believe and trust in our governments and trust in the pharmaceutical companies, etc. So, and by the way, I came to that conclusion a long time ago when I came down. I'm going to share this with our listeners. You know, I'm older. I'm a grandmother already. And I came down with adult onset diabetes. And when I went to the doctor, his, you know, has good intentions. He's a good doctor. He gave me pills to take. And I said, I'm not taking your pills. If I got myself in this condition, I'm going to have to get myself out of this condition. Because I saw then it kind of like ding in my head that the pharmaceutical companies are not here to cure us. They're here to manage our disease. And they want to make me a lifetime consumer of theirs. You know, lakua, how do you say that?
Consumer, yes.
A consumer, right. And I said, no, you know, like this is horrible. Why would they want to manage my disease when I can maybe cure it if I change my lifestyle, change my eating, start moving more, etc.? And thank God I did. You know, I did. It was hard work, but I did it. So this is where I came, you know, where my light bulb went off. And I realized that people don't have your best interests at heart. For the government, I already knew that a long time ago. Okay. What do they say? The most frightening words are, we're the government. We're from the government. We want to help or something like that when they come to your door. So where would you like to start?
Well, let me start with a very fast story. I had a conversation many years ago with a fellow by the name of Amos Shokin, who's the owner and publisher of the newspaper called Haaretz. Very, very far left, but and he's a professional. And I challenged him with a series of stories that they were publishing. We were meeting about something else altogether. He was buying a company basically for his despised brother-in-law because he wanted to simply get rid of his brother-in-law somehow and keep him occupied, not be bothered with him. And I was representing one of the sides of a three-sided deal. And I said to him, you know, what you're publishing about, the subject was at the time ATMs when they were new. So everyone can date when what I was talking about. And I had done a study about them for the side of auditors here in the country. And I said, but everything you're publishing there, all the facts are incorrect. It's just totally untrue. He says, truth has no relevance to newspapers. Newspaper is a business. I don't care about truth. I care about selling newspapers and selling advertisements. That's all that I do. I don't do anything else. Truth is irrelevant. And I'm saying that basically what you just said is the same thing. I'm certain that there are many, many, many people in the hundreds of thousands of people that work in pharmaceutical companies that are totally altruistic and totally really desire to help people and not harm, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. As the Hippocratic Oath used to say, first do no harm.
Right.
But as businesses, they are responsible to their shareholders, not to their clients. I think that's a basic flaw in the way the economies of the world are run today, that all of these companies are responsible basically only to their shareholders and not to their clientele. And so their competition is not based upon the efficacy or efficiency of their various treatments, but basically on their PR, on PR, public relations, or as you phrased it, not incorrectly, certainly, how to manage the various conditions that people have some of those conditions can be pretty awful. And I think that's true. I think that's factually correct. And that's, I think what we're seeing now with the COVID, which is what you're really asking about, is that same concept gone to an extreme. And basically what happened here, COVID is a real disease. It really does exist. Anyone saying that COVID itself is a lie is ridiculous. COVID really is a disease and it really does exist. And I also have seen an enormous compendium of evidence that COVID was manufactured in the Chinese laboratory. Again, we've talked about this in the past, whether intentionally or not intentionally, whether at least intentionally or not intentionally, that's a separate issue. We're not going to go into that now. But COVID is a real disease.
Yes, and now, and I will attest, I had it, my whole family had it, so it does exist. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question that COVID is a real disease, just as the flu is a real disease. And,
And
the 1920s and 30s, tens of millions of people died from the flu. I mean, these diseases are real,
yes.
Even if they're not, their origin were not justified. That's a separate issue, as I said. So, and then there's a question of A, the vaccinations on the one hand, and B, on the other hand, the various treatments that we've seen. And I think there is a significant amount of evidence that reasonable treatments for this disease do exist and can be implemented if the health authorities of a specific place really desire to do it and have the knowledge and caring enough. That's not the word I'm looking for. And care enough to really desire to treat it properly. We see countries like Iran where, on the one hand, 2.5% of the population has been vaccinated, 2.5%. And basically no treatments are being provided. They basically don't care. The population can die. It doesn't matter to them. That's an extreme case. We see cases like most of Europe where they're reasonably or unreasonably complacent about their populations. They don't really care. Tens of percentages of the elderly population in Belgium have died basically for no reason, just because of irresponsibility. We've seen the same thing in New York, in the United States, and in California, which have extraordinarily high mortality rates, while in Florida, where they have a governor with a different bent, we've seen reasonably successful caring.
But yes, and I just want to remind listeners. Yeah, I just want to remind listeners also that if you're a government, you would maybe find it in your interest to get rid of your senior citizens in a very passive way, because they are not contributing to society in their heads. I'm not saying, you know, all life is special, holy. We can't do it with anybody. It doesn't matter how old you are. As my mother says, I'm 89 years old. I'm not ready to die. So in any case, you know, these people are collecting their Social Security. If they pass on, it'll save the government a lot of money, right?
And well, so that's a question of attitude. I mean, if I can be so bold as to take your mother as an example, because you mentioned her.
Yes.
I firmly believe that she is contributing to society today.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm sorry, talking about with the government as the government.
By describing things to her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Of course, that was my point. That's what the government would be thinking. They don't care. We care. All we know, life is holy and special. It doesn't matter how old you are, but the government is like, they're just, you know, sucking off their own money that they put into the system, you know, all those years. But go ahead.
Okay, so there apparently, again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm going to phrase things carefully. Apparently, there are treatments, and these treatments can be quite effective, and all evidence that I've seen, and I've seen a large amount of evidence, shows that these treatments can be both inexpensive and simple to apply.
Right, which brings us to the question of why then are these governments around the world, especially the United States, especially Israel, especially Europe, European countries, the West, pushing heavily people, not even just pushing the vaccine, but even like threatening, calling them, dividing the population, saying that sometimes they they're murderers for not getting vaccinated. And then the payoffs, the bribes, if you get vaccinated, we'll pay you $100 a person, etc. Crazy stuff. I'll have you answer that when we get back. We're going to a break. Don't go anywhere.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham, host of The Walter Bingham File. Look out for a very special, exclusive program coming soon here on Israel News Talk Radio with young people who have left their ultra-Orthodox families and lifestyle and speak frankly and openly with me about their reasons for entering the secular world. Do they believe in God? How has that change affected them? What is their relationship with their parents? And why do they deliberately eat ham sandwiches? That and much more in this searching investigation into their innermost souls. Don't miss it. Coming soon on The Walter Bingham File, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're talking about the COVID and the pandemic, and is there really a conspiracy or not? Our guest, a scientist, says don't listen to the quote, the science claims, because really, you know, honestly, if you want to listen to quote unquote the science, it's always changing. Wear a mask, you don't need to wear a mask. You need to wear two masks, you don't need to wear a mask anymore. If you're vaccinated, now you have to wear a mask even if you're vaccinated. And that's all the science. That's what the politicians are saying. So Mordechai, let's get back to where we left off. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me go back to what you began before the break, which you said, what's the business with the politicians? What are they actually telling us? And let me explain something. I've worked with politicians, and some of them are excellent people. I mean, really, really high quality, intelligent, and really caring people. Not all of them, of course. Their population is like every other population, but some of them are really superb people. And I learned a lot from them. One of the things I learned from them is that their profession is to be a politician. Their profession is to do what they do best. And their profession is not to be a doctor or to learn to be a doctor or to learn to be an engineer or whatever it might be at the time. So they need to be driven by data that's supplied to them by other professionals in the various professions that they're talking to. So if we're going to talk about, for instance, a prime minister or a president of a country, doesn't matter, I'm not speaking of personalities, I'm speaking of the concept. He doesn't know, he or she doesn't know how to about doctoring and about immunology and et cetera, and all these diseases and things like that. He has to be told. So he's told by the people who apparently are professionals. So I'm not going to blame the politicians for these things easily. They can be blamed, but not easily. Because they're given data. So if, for instance, Trump was given data by Fauci, who was the person who was responsible for these things, you can't really fault Trump for listening to Fauci or not listening to Fauci. You could say, well, why didn't he listen to three different people or get various opinions? That's a process question. It's legitimate, but it's really hard to do that when you're talking about something that's being done under enormous pressure. So the question really is, can we as a human society of today, of the basically going the end of the first quarter of the 21st century. We'll call it that. Can we afford to be managed by groups of professionals that don't really have the training to manage us? In other words, we talk about doctors. A very close friend of mine had a condition that was discovered suddenly in the middle of the of synagogue services on Shabbat morning, and he was rushed to the hospital, and they immediately rushed him into surgery. And the following morning at 11 o'clock, he was already home. I mean, so on a personal level, doctors can do miracles, can do fantastic work. But what we're seeing is that doctors, when it comes to public policy, they're just not trained for that. They don't really understand that. So they're groping. They're constantly groping. So if you talk about, and you mentioned this a moment ago, when you talk about what is the science, what is actually the science, science by definition changes constantly in any field. Even if we talk about mathematics, science changes constantly. That's what science is. That's what scientists do. We challenge one another to come up with better ideas, to come up with improvements, to come up with fixing concerns of science of the past that are not necessarily or do not necessarily need to be concerns for the future because we've gained new knowledge.
Okay, so
each little bit of knowledge that we gain changes the science, sometimes radically.
Okay, so saying that, it is wise and common sense not to jump to inject into a human body someone who is otherwise healthy, especially our children, a material that we don't know exactly what it's going to do. Even the scientists say we don't know how effective it is yet. They're constantly finding out they thought it was effective. Now they're seeing it's only maybe 70% or 60% effective. And now against the Delta virus, they're finding this. And just to wait for the data. That would be the common sense thing to do, especially when 99.97% or something like that of people who get corona survive it. And that we've seen by the science that ivermectin is proven to help get rid of the coronavirus and to cure people and get them out of the hospitals instead of just dying on respirators, as well as hydroxychloroquine and zinc and other vitamins if used early enough. So take it from there.
Well, again, nothing you said is incorrect, okay? However, there's an additional factor here which needs to be taken into account, and it's a hard factor to discuss. And that's basically called panic. Politicians are driven more than anything else today by the media. And the media, present company accepted, the media sells panic. They sell sensationalism. They sell, as I said at the very beginning about Amos Shokin, what matters to them is selling their wares. And so causing panic is part of what they do. There's a well-known author, deceased author, by the name of Michael Crichton. Everybody's probably heard of him or heard of his work, Andromeda Strain and Jurassic Park and many other books. And he was a doctor, among other things. And he also had a doctorate in science. He was a highly educated man, and he was very, very smart. And he wrote one, I think it was his last book, I'm not certain, I think it was his last book, it was called State of Fear. And it was basically about the media and how the media survives by creating and maintaining various states of panic. And if anybody is old enough, or my age or more, probably remember in the 70s, there was a panic about the world descending into an ice age. And then 10 years later, it was descending into global warming.
To his global warming.
So whatever, you know. The point is not what the globe is doing. The point is what can be promoted by the media. And politicians are driven to that. Again, they don't have the knowledge. They don't know.
So you're giving the politicians the benefit of the doubt.
But I'm saying that the politicians are not the primary fault. Their job is to manage things by data that they receive.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question then, and how you would explain them pushing this so hard when they could say, as politicians also, we're giving people their own freedom to do whatever they want and to take care of their own health however they want. It's a free country. They can take that stance too, and you can comment on that in a minute. But first, let's go to a caller we have joining us, Antonio from the settlement of Washington, D.C. Hi there, Antonio.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, what's your question?
Actually, you asked a question about what, paraphrasing, what the purpose of why they're pushing this vaccine.
Yes.
And it's my opinion, it's population control. Because I heard so many times, you know, from Bill Gates and back and forth, literally heard from their voice about, it's about the world is overpopulated. And number two, they trying to be God. The same thing that happened in back the days of Noah and the days of the Tower of Babel, those situations are occurring once again, and people need to be aware of it. Each person has a choice to, you know, what is their body. For example, they have this thing saying, okay, I'm not for abortion and so forth and all that, but it's a person's right, a female's right to choose. Why are they infringing on individuals to go against what they don't want to take? Or where is the science? Where is the data? And so forth. And let me see the data. I don't want to hear it. I want to see for myself. I can read.
Okay, so...
And they refuse to do those things.
Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, Antonio is saying that what a lot of people are saying, they believe that Bill Gates wants to kill everybody. I don't know. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've seen the videos of him saying how we have to depopulate. However, I'm still not really convinced. I don't know. Maybe just because I can't even think of such a dastardly thing, because I wouldn't do it. I assume other people wouldn't do it. But, you know, I know that people can do things, terrible things. I know that. But what is your stance on this?
Well, I'm not going to be accusative of Bill Gates or any other individual. What I can say is that Antonio is correct in at least one thing, perhaps probably more than that, that when he says, show me the data and let me make my own decisions. One of the biggest problems, I believe, concerning this entire COVID issue is that the data has not been displayed either correctly or entirely or in any reasonable manner. And that, I believe, is one of the major issues that we're all discussing here. There is a question of informed consent or informed dissent. You can choose, in any society, even a non-free society, you have levels of consent. Even in a place like China.
Okay, so hang on right there. We have to go to another break. We're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio.com. Scientists says, don't listen to the science claims. We're talking about, is there or is there not a COVID conspiracy? It's all the way that you look at it, the way people understand things. We don't know. You know, we don't know. We don't know. Just like we don't know how effective the vaccine is and how safe it is and how good it is. Maybe it is good. I'm hoping it's good because so many people have taken it. Our guest is Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. And just to finish with this talk, even though we can go on for a long, long time to poke around and try to answer other questions, we do need to get to other things happening in the world. How would you like to end this discussion we've had, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem?
I would say the following. I'm not going to talk in terms of using the word conspiracy. That's become a loaded term, unfortunately, and therefore it's probably a useless term. There are various interests here that are pulling different ways. The pharmaceuticals certainly have an interest in selling tens of billions of dollars worth of vaccines, even if they don't, they're not as effective as they as people would like them to be. And the politicians are driven. The media loves to drive a panic. So there are a lot of forces here at work. And unfortunately, the most important force is the weakest of them all, and that's the public. What Antonio said was correct. We do not have sufficient data, we as a public, and the data that we do have is not displayed correctly. And that is very, very unfortunate.
Right. And if anybody who's considering giving it to your children, please, please realize that we still don't know enough about this vaccine. And you could be, God forbid, doing some terrible harm to them, especially when kids, if they get it, they don't die from this. They get it. And just like I got it, I had it for 5 or 6 days and I was over it. And it wasn't anything. I wasn't gasping for breath. I had a sore throat. I had a headache. I was weak. I was achy. But, you know, I still functioned every day. I got up every day and I didn't have to leave the house. I think we were under lockdown when it happened. But, you know, it's like a flu. Even less so because there was no nausea, at least with me. And I hate that. That's the worst. But okay. All right, so we'll leave it there. Yes?
Fine.
Okay.
Let's go to India for a moment.
Let's go to India. All right, India. The Delta. Ah, we're back on the topic again.
India, as people are aware, is a massive country. It's an enormous country in size and population and et cetera. And India, and I'm using India right now as only one part of a puzzle. India is beginning to flex its muscles as it never has before in its entire history. And India is one of the countries with the longest history in the world, one of the handful of cultures that have been around for thousands of years, as have the Chinese, Japanese, Persians, Israelis, etc. And India suddenly begins to flex its muscles. And everybody's aware of China and the Chinese doing this and the Chinese are doing that and et cetera, and the Chinese are acting horribly in with the Uyghurs and with the Tibetans and with the Mongolians and in Hong Kong and towards the they have horrible intentions towards the Taiwanese and et cetera, et cetera. What most people don't realize, and the leader of the Prime Minister of India has realized, is that China has what's called in engineering a single point of failure, one choke point that can basically stop everything in China, and that is the Straits of Malacca. And the Indians have a chain of islands called the Andaman Islands, which can basically close the Strait of Malacca, through which more than 80% of all Chinese energy flows, and many tens of percent of all of their exports flow.
Okay.
So, the Indians can do a great deal in terms of controlling China. In parallel with that, and this is fascinating for anyone who's interested in geostrategic policies, Russia is in the midst of putting together a pseudo coalition of India itself and Japan. And Japan has come out in support of Taiwan. And interestingly enough, Russia, in its reportage of the Olympics, has implied support of Taiwan, and China is incensed, as it should be. as should be, in the sense of that that's exactly what was intended. And so India can close off China from towards the west. Japan closes off China towards the east. Russia closes off China towards the north and northwest. And basically, Putin, who is a absolute chess master at anything concerning diplomacy, is putting together a coalition right now, which basically has the potential to cause China, the CCP, to collapse. I'm not saying it's going to, but the potential is clearly there, and it's a fascinating process that is going on. And anyone who's interested should really look at that much more closely.
How would they collapse with such a strong economy, it would seem? I mean, everything seems to be made in China today.
Yes and no. You're right. And the second part of the statement, that an enormous amount of the world's supply chains are dependent upon China. And for instance, we talked a moment ago about pharmaceuticals. The vast majority of pharmaceutical supply chains are China dependent, and that is basically a case of economic stupidity on the part of the West. And so you're certainly correct in what you said, but that doesn't mean that cannot change. Many companies today are gradually disengaging, moving factories from China to Indonesia, to Malaysia, to the Philippines, to India, to all sorts of other, to Vietnam. China is weakening right now. They do have a very strong economy. They have an enormous amount of cash, enormous what's called foreign currency reserves, right, the largest in the world. So we certainly can't count them out. I'm not saying China is about to collapse. I'm saying that the potential for a significant weakening of China exists, and there are forces working on that potential. And that is very interesting. It's not there yet. It's not happening. It's being worked upon.
All right. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. I want to get to the last topic. We only have 3 minutes, and that is the Arab crowns. What was that about?
Okay. Basically, there are a whole bunch of Arab crowns out there. Most of them don't really matter much. Okay. There are two crowns among Arabians that are really important. One because it really is important, and one because it claims importance. And the really important, of course, is the Saudi crown. And the other one is the people that they took the crown from. The Saud family, Ibn Saud himself, took the crown from the ones called the Hashemites, which today means Jordan.
Right.
Previously to them being in Jordan, they were in Hajjaj, which is basically the cities of Mecca and Medina. They were the rulers of that for 1,000 years. And Ibn Saud took it from them and threw them out. And the British, in their infinite stupidity, created kingdoms for them that never existed before in the history of the world. And those kingdoms have been a thorn in the side of everybody, including the British, ever since.
But so you're talking about the Transjordan, that when the British had the mandate here after World War I, they paid off the Hashemite tribe and gave them, they carved out from the area of Palestine, where the Jews were, and some Arabs as well,
yes,
and gave it to him as a kingdom. So we lost half, more than half, actually, of the territory of what Britain promised us. But go ahead.
Yes, but they also gave another crown to his brother for Iraq, and they tried to give him Syria, but the French intervened on that, so they didn't get Syria. It was a mess. It still is. But these two families are still slugging it out. And a very interesting thing has happened over the last 2 months, and that is the Hashemites, who are led by Abdallah II, who basically is a pretty much a disgusting individual. He's very, very low on talent and very low on any sort of real leadership of his country. His countrymen mostly hate him. but he still controls them. And his major point of control actually is his claims to have something over, some control over the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And he's been using that for the last 5 or 6 years to really, really pound a lot on Israel.
Okay, we only have a minute left. We only have 60 seconds left.
And so he's been pounding on Israel. And then apparently, and of course we can't prove this, this is sort of behind the screens, he got a phone call recently from the Saud family, probably MBS, who probably said something to the effect of, shut up or you will not have any more cash from us. And so suddenly he's making a lot of pro-Israel noises, and this is very interesting. So the Arab crowns are in play, as they have not been for many decades now.
So basically, and you're saying that the Middle East borders can change again very quickly.
They can, and they probably will.
Hmm.
And
right.
They probably should, by the way. All these borders are nonsense.
All right. Well, we have to end it there. Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem, thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have any comments, you can write me tomorrow at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.